Good morning on this Wednesday. Bill Ryder with you. Thank you for hanging out. Appreciate you very much. Ryan Hickey is off the first part of this week. Nico Scarlato is doing a great job filling in as the producer. Ryan will return tomorrow. You can follow Nico on Twitter at NSCAR10. I'm on there as well. Sports Ryder, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Phone number 888-710-4-ISN. We are efforting Ashley Nicole Moss. I believe she's coming here in just a moment. We'll see. My very talented, very fun, very charismatic colleague, or former colleague at CBS Sports. We worked together there. She's great. She's still there. Buy or Sell is coming up in about 15 or 20 minutes. It's a really, I looked at what Nico put together. The producer does that. It's a great addition. We have a very special Ryan Hickey question in there for you. We'll circle back to some LeBron James and Cleveland talk. In fact, I'm sure that I will ask Ashley about that. She's actually on the line right now. We're going to get with her to talk some hoops. If you probably know who Ashley is, but if you don't, one of the most talented broadcasters in the country. Forbes 30 under 30 superstar. She's an analyst. She's a host. She's a reporter. She's smart. She's funny. She's the person behind Triple Threat, which you can catch on CBS Sports. CBS Sports Network, usually 1 o'clock Eastern. That's 10 o'clock. Those of us out here on the West Coast on CBS Sports Network. She's got a big project coming up that maybe she'll tell us about on a very, very important cable channel. She's a rising superstar, and she's making time because she's so nice. Oh, and she's a big Knicks fan. Good morning, Ash. What is up?
Hi, Bill. It's so good to hear your voice. How are you?
I'm amazing. I'm wonderful. Are you? I saw the announcement. Are you able to talk about what the sort of project you have coming in the fall? That's out,
yeah.
That's out of the bag?
The cat is out of the bag. We start 106 in Sports in the fall, which is a spinoff of 106 in Park, which, of course, was the countdown music phenomenon that aired weekly. I actually grew up watching that show, so it was a full circle moment for me, but I'm excited. I'm doing it with Cam Newton, and I think the thing we're really excited about doing is having the conversations that major sports channels don't really have, because you know what it's like, all the red tape and things you can and cannot talk about. So sports are culture, and a lot of that culture is Black culture, and we're excited to kind of give that some shine once again, and hopefully we can really be a presence at HBCUs like BET Once Upon a Time was. We're really looking forward to just kind of making it our own, so we start that soon.
You're a superstar. I love it. And by the way, I know Cam a little bit, not well. He's got some style. He's got some drip. I mean, are you going to, who's going to be the best dressed person on that show? That's crazy.
It might be Cam. He might give me a run for my money,
honestly. Ashley, a lot of changes. And you were, for those who don't know, over on X at Ash Nicole Moss, you were very vocal. Even before the Knicks made the move to move on from Thibodeau, you were very vocal. You didn't think Tibbs was the guy. Turned out your view was aligned with Leon Rose's view. Can you just give me, for people listening, a refresher? Why, for you, was that the right decision to move on from the Knicks head coach?
I just think it came to the head, and I think that with Tibbs, he just has a very particular style. We all know how he has a love affair with his starters, not so much the bench. And then also, you know, he's not really big on practices. He doesn't do those often. He very much is a guy who kind of just shows up game day, has a plan, and all right, guys, we're going to play this. And I think both of those things, but specifically running your starters so much during the regular season and then especially in the postseason, is just not the way the NBA works anymore. Obviously, it didn't work for the Pacers, but one thing that was just brilliant about what Rick Carlisle was doing was throwing so many different combinations at his opponents through each and every series. And I think Eric Spoelstra is another guy who's phenomenal at it. As you know, in a 7-game series, it's not an 82-game season. There's not much cushion for error. So you have to be creative. You have to be able to adjust, not just game to game, but from quarter to quarter. And I just think Tibbs had a very particular style where he was not able to do that. His hands almost had to be forced to do it, and you just can't win like that.
Ashley Nicole Moss hanging out here on the show. I am Bill Ryder. The show, unfortunately, I did not come up with this name, is called Ryder Than You. It is on the Infinity Sports Network, and you can follow Ashley on X and watch her show, her new show, get all of her information. She's amazing at Ash Nicole Moss. Yeah, I'm with you, Ash. I actually like Tom. He's a good, but that inflexibility doesn't seem right. Good dude, different thing than the right coach. that inflexibility, as you said, doesn't seem to work today. Mike Brown's the guy. Mike Brown's an amazing offensive mind. His teams have been, you know, spotty defensively. He's had success. There are certainly mixed feelings from Knicks fans. There are mixed feelings across NBA fandom. There are mixed feelings from GMs I've talked to about where sort of how good this hire is for you as an NBA expert, but a very, very passionate Knicks fan. Where did you come down on Mike Brown as the new coach?
You know, I like it. I first of all, I like that the Knicks finally went after somebody who was single and not in a committed relationship. That was great. I think, look, I like that Mike Brown comes from the coaching trees of Popovich and Steve Kerr. I like that Mike Brown has coached in multiple finals. I like that he's won as an assistant coach. And yes, that's similar. Winning as an assistant coach is similar to Tibbs. But I actually think, look, I think Mike Brown is a lot more flexible than Tom Thibodeau is when it comes to his coaching style. I think the Knicks made it abundantly clear throughout this entire coaching search before they landed on Mike Brown what they needed and what they required. And I think Mike Brown is going in there knowing what he needs to do to keep this job. And I think, you know, when people talk about the Sacramento Kings, which was his last stop, I feel like he got the short end of the deal there. He took the Kings into the playoffs for the first time in years. They get off to a rocky start because the roster was flawed. And who's the scapegoat? The coach. I don't know if that's a reflection of Mike Brown. I think he's tough enough. I think he is a coach who likes to practice. I think he is a coach, to your point, more offensively minded than defensively. But that's why you build a staff around you to kind of fill in the gaps. I'm very optimistic, especially after that presser yesterday, his introductory presser. I'm very optimistic about him in New York. I'm excited to see what he brings.
Ashley Nicole Moss here on the show. Ash, the East is going to be down this upcoming week, we think, right? I mean, it is, you know, outside of Cleveland, it's you guys, right? It's you guys in Cleveland.
Yeah.
As the maybe the Pistons, maybe the Magic. What is a fair expectation level? And Mike Brown said that he embraces this, right? He said in his press conference yesterday, the sense the Knicks have to do well. For you, what needs to happen next year to feel like, okay, Mike Brown's the right guy and we're heading in the right direction? How far in the playoffs? What's the minimum?
If we're going to be honest with how the East is, you have to think about it. No Tyrese Halliburton. The president came out yesterday and said he will not play next season. Jason Tatum more than likely will miss next season. It depends on what the Celtics look like, but I would be very surprised if he returns next season. The East is wide open. For me, this is the best chance the Knicks have to go to the NBA Finals. And for me, with this team going to the conference finals last season, which some people say they overachieved, some people said they were right on schedule, I believe they should go to the conference finals and get out of the conference finals to reach the NBA playoffs. That is what the success of the season would mean. That is what this team has been being built for. And I think it is now time for the chickens to roost, or the roosters to roost, whatever animal to roost is now the time. And I think if the Knicks don't make the NBA finals, a lot of people are going to look at it, including myself, as a little bit of a failure.
I think they can do it. I really do. And I'm rooting for the Knicks, even though every 4 days some stupid thing I said on Jalen Brunson 4 years ago is presented my ex thing. Thank you, Knicks Twitter. You guys are so mean, but I love all of you. All right, so let me pose sort of a random question to you that was presented to me. I did a radio hit this morning on Cleveland Radio, and thank you again, Ashley Nicole Moss, for squeezing me in here. I know you're busy. Let's just say theoretically, I don't think this will happen, but theoretically, the Lakers say, you know what, we're willing to swap LeBron James for Karl Anthony Towns. The numbers can work. I don't remember where you come down on LeBron at this stage of his career. Would that be an enhancement, or would that be a mistake if you're the New York Knicks?
You know, it's so funny you bring this up, because this hypothetical actually happened to me in our lunchroom at CBS Sports, and I was 50-50 on it, Bill. Like, obviously, it's LeBron, and I think that it's an immediate impact. Of course, it's LeBron James, and yes, he's going to be 41, but he's still playing like he's in his 30s, and it's unreal to see. But I'm also looking at it from a future standpoint, and I think that yes, Karl Anthony Towns has his shortcomings, but I just don't know if the end result of taking on LeBron would be beneficial to the long result of the New York Knicks. And I'm not saying that Karl Anthony Towns is just like Jalen Brunson, he's irreplaceable, but he does things really well, and I don't know if I can say the issue between Jalen and Kat and the defensive issues are not fixable. And I don't know if I would blow that up for LeBron. But then again, if it's LeBron James and it's this season and this is the Knicks' best chance because of how open the East is to get to the NBA Finals, if you want to make sure that happens without a shadow of a doubt, especially with how the conference looks next season, you for sure are making that move. So from that regard, I think I would do it.
There really is a window, right? Like it's a real thing. Ashley Nicole Moss here on the show. All right, Ash, this is a non-Knicks question, but I was asked this by the guys in Cleveland. If you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, and that is New York's, I think, primary rival. And look, the Pistons pushed you guys in, what, that first round? They're going
to
be good.
Brink.
Yeah, to the brink. It was a hell of a series. First round. I mean, the winner of that series probably was going to the conference finals. You guys obviously made it. I think the Magic can be good. I'm not discarding those other teams. But it feels like front runners, you and the Cleveland Cavaliers. If you're Kobe Altman, the GM in Cleveland, and you'd have to give more up because of the numbers, would you want LeBron to come back to your locker room, or would you let Cleveland just make the way that it's that, because they were good too last year?
Yeah, I think if I'm Cleveland, I'm not doing it. And I know that's crazy because it's the kid from Akron, and it's where it all began. But I just think that in the perfect scenario where it would be an even swap of Kat for LeBron, that's a lot less to ask for than what Cleveland would require. And when LeBron ultimately retires, and it probably is closer to happening than a lot of people want to accept, Cleveland would be in a, not a disarray, but they would then kind of be back somewhat where they started, where they're not good, they're not bad, they're somewhere in the middle, all for LeBron for what, a season, maybe two. I just feel like Cleveland is in a much different position, and they would have to give up a lot more than I feel like the Knicks would in that dream scenario. I don't know. If I'm Cleveland, I don't think I'd do it.
All right, Ash, so you are in Miami. You are about to have a show about the culture. You are not married. You referenced this a little bit. How much of a party foul is Leon Rose going after a bunch of, to use your analogy, a bunch of non-single people? I mean, I know
it
the Knicks settled
crazy
on Mike Brown, but what was he doing? I mean, like, is there any fidelity in this world anymore?
I know. Is nobody loyal anymore? I don't know, honestly. And I remember somebody asking me about this on air, and I said, I actually don't know the rationale, the rhyme or reason behind this. It just seemed like, and Bill, you know, the summer league is an extremely important time for coaches, an extremely important time for rookies and guys who are trying to get onto a roster or a practice squad or whatever the case may be. And to bring it down to the wire like this, your head coach was not part of the draft. Now, granted, the Knicks weren't in the draft like some of the other people, but moves are made during that time period. You don't have your head coach's input because you don't have one. It just seemed like it dragged the timeline unnecessarily when this could have been something that was solidified earlier. And now you have the input of the guy who's going to be running this entire situation. And it just seemed like it was just a backwards way of doing things. It almost seemed like they fired Tom Thibodeau and didn't have a plan and were just kind of free-falling and figuring it out as they went.
Yeah, it sure tells you how much they didn't want him there. I mean, they were certainly aligned with your view, right? Like, we don't need a backup.
For sure.
I'll break up with this person. I'll find somebody else. Whoever it is will be better. Ashley Nicole Moss, CBS Sports, Triple Threat, BET coming up, CBS Sports HQ. Love having you on the show. Congrats on all your success. You deserve every ounce of it. It is great to hear your voice. And I'm
you
only
going
to say this for you. I'll never go Knicks, but only for you.
I appreciate it. And I'm going to miss you. We miss you already at CBS.
Thanks. I'm sure our paths will cross again, and we're going to bother you a bunch to come on the radio early in the morning.
Of course.
And hang out.
Please do.
All right. Thanks, Ash.
Bye.
By Ash Nicole Moss, at Ash Nicole Moss on Instagram, at Ash Nicole Moss on X. She's really good, and she called it. She was banging that get rid of Tibbs drum again and again and again and again when that was not the prevailing narrative, when people thought it wasn't going to happen. And we're going to find out whether it was the right call. We're going to find out whether Mike Brown is the guy. We're also going to find out something about Ryan Hickey you wouldn't expect, because that question of the year is mixed into buy or sell, and we'll do it next year on Righter Than You. All right, welcome back into the show. Welcome back into the program. Bill Ryder with you. I don't know how would I have answered that? If I had been asked, whether or not Ryan Hickey's sudden girlfriend turned fiance was hot. Honestly?
My go-to is always say yeah, because you don't want to tell your friend that you, that's like an insult. Like, if someone came up to me and was like, oh, the girl you're dating's ugly, I'd be insulted.
Well, here's the thing. His girlfriend is very pretty. Very attractive young lady. I mean, I also want to be a creep boy. Like, oh, yeah. She's a hottie. You know, but obviously in listening back to that, that is not what Jerry Greenberg said to me. But it sounded like it to me. Did she cry? I don't know where I got hot. I don't know what was going on. All right. Speaking of Ryan Hickey, he is back tomorrow. He's actually going to be featured in one of these questions. But before that, we have a riveting cast of topics spread across sports in the segment we do every day to hit some of the things we haven't had time for. It's Buy or Sell.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
Let's kick things off in the Northeast. The Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens told reporters that they are not rebuilding despite trading away Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis. But buy or sell, the Celtics are actually better off tanking this season.
Yeah, it's a tricky call because Tatum's going to miss most, if not all, the season. They still have Jaylen Brown. They still have some good players. The East, if they were in the West, it'd be an easy answer. The East is not very good. I'll venture to say either the Knicks or Cleveland utterly disappoints. I think one of them will be underwhelming in the playoffs at a minimum. And so I think there's a real road here. But I'll buy.
Buy.
I don't think... The thing is, Boston is a lot like the Lakers. Or the Yankees, which is the analogy doesn't work as well, but the comparison. I don't think you can tank in Boston. I don't think the fan base will accept it.
I just think naturally they're going to be so much worse than they have been. So if they're a team that's sitting there as like a fringe play-in team, why is it even worth it to go for it at that point?
Here's the thing, though. Like, I'm with you that they're fringe, but so is almost every other team. Okay, so you've got Cleveland and New York, obviously, can be really good. I think Detroit and Orlando. I think one of them is going to be a very legitimate four seed, and I think one of them, maybe both, could make a giant leap. We could have four really good teams, depending on those two. After that, I don't think Kristaps Porzingis to the Hawks makes the Hawks a contender. I know everyone else does, but okay, the Hawks are the five seed, sure. I don't think Milwaukee's going to be any good. I don't think Milwaukee's going to be... Miles Turner, all right, maybe. So they're the six, I guess. Who else are you worried about?
The other team I would have thrown in is maybe Miami.
Maybe. But they weren't very good. I guess, like, because the East is easier, they're going to win more games is the argument. But I think the Celtics are... I would take Jaylen Brown over Bam. Just like in a redraft. And I know that's not how you build a team. It's a really interesting question. Also, what if Jaylen gets hurt? They have no depth anymore.
Well, I think that's what the biggest loss... I mean, obviously, Tatum is the biggest loss. Let me be clear there. But their depth was so important to how successful they've been. And to lose those guys like Holiday and Porzingis, even if they weren't the best players on the team, I think they're huge losses for the Celtics.
Peyton Pritchard, Derek White. Sam Hauser is going to... Yeah, maybe you're right. I'm starting to come around to tanking.
Over to the Western Conference, the Lakers brought in DeAndre Ayton via free agency, and when he was asked about playing alongside Luka Doncic, he said, like a video game. Buy or sell that the Lakers now with this addition are the second best team in the Western Conference.
Oh, that's a strong sell.
Sell.
That's an easy... I think they overperformed last year. In a serious way. I think Denver has quietly gotten really good. I think the Clippers are going to be really interesting. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think Dallas could be surprisingly good. I know that there's no Kyrie, maybe for the entirety of the season as well. Who am I forgetting? I actually think the Spurs could be really good. Man, no. No, I already sold it, right? I'll say this about DeAndre Ayton, and I could be wrong. Luka's amazing. LeBron and Luka have another year together. DeAndre Ayton is in a contract year, and they got him for really cheap. There's upside there. I don't believe in LeBron and Luka together.
It's definitely going to be a very, very exciting Western Conference, to say the
least. It's going to be so good.
Yeah.
It's going to be so good.
Well, yesterday, you talked about this morning, how you were on 92.3 in Cleveland. Yesterday was the 15-year anniversary of LeBron's decision to leave the Cavs and go to the Miami Heat. Buy or sell that if LeBron stayed in Cleveland for the entirety of his career, his public image would be much better?
That's a great question. I'm actually going to sell.
Sell.
And here's why. And by the way, that decision changed my entire life. I covered his first year in Miami. I'll tell that story in a second. LeBron really did, I think he's the one who put it this way, he really did get a PhD in winning from Riley and Spoelstra in the Heat. Maybe he would have gone on to win 4 titles. Maybe he would have, but maybe not. I don't know that there's a guarantee that he would have been the same guy. And so his greatness, his championships, that is real and that's tangible. I was, do you remember, or you were probably, how old were you when that happened? You were probably...
I was like 11 years old, yeah.
So I was, what was I? I'm 30-something, 31, 32. And I was sitting on my couch in Kansas City, Missouri. I worked at the Kansas City Star. At that point, I hated my job at the Star because I've been moved to off sports because the editor got mad at me for some crazy reason. And I watched that decision. I'd never covered the NBA and thought, man, what an idiot LeBron is. And whatever, 4 months later, I was covering LeBron James. LeBron moving to Miami sparked FoxSports.com to frantically go hire someone to cover the Heat and cover the Lakers because Lakers were going for a three-peat, and changed my entire life. They called me, obviously, hired me. My whole career changed. So, in a lot of ways, thank you, LeBron, for doing that.
There you go.
As I sit here in L.A.
Over to Major League Baseball, Patrick Bailey last night of the San Francisco Giants hit a walk-off three-run inside the park home run off of the Philadelphia Phillies to win 4-3. Now, the ball hit the triples alley, the brick wall they have back there, and then bounced left, took a weird carom for the center fielder, allowing Bailey to round the bases. Buy or sell that you think every MLB stadium should have the same dimensions?
Strong sell.
Sell.
I like the weirdness. I like just the peculiarity of some of these ballparks. Do I think that you should be able to move your right or left field, like your right field porch in when you have a left-handed hitter? No, I don't. We've seen that over the years. But no, I don't. I love the inside the park walk-off. You didn't like it? No, I thought it was awesome.
I thought it was awesome, too. I just, like, excitement-wise, it was awesome. I just think it's, like, weird that's the only sport like that. Like, every other sport you play, it's just you're on the same playing field. No,
soccer's different. The soccer fields are different sizes in Europe.
Really? I didn't know that. But,
so Barcelona has the largest, they call it a pitch in La Liga. And there's this little place called Rayo Vallecano, a little suburb of Madrid, and it's tiny, and it impacts how they play.
I didn't know that was a thing. Interesting.
Also, part of the reason, too, is baseball is obviously and should be always be an outside ballpark. That, you know, Wrigley Field, which is sort of my center as a Cubs fan, in the early part of the year when the wind blows in, it's one kind of baseball game, and as the weather warms up and the wind blows out, it's a totally different kind of baseball game. So I don't mind the ballpark being a factor in outcomes. I'm used to it.
While we were on the topic of Philadelphia, who was on the losing side of that inside the park walk-off homer, our old buddy Spike Eskin on WIP
Spike
was talking about the Mets and their 33-14 home record this season, claiming that he doesn't say that they're cheating, but something is a little fishy. Buy or sell that it's unfair to assume that every team that plays well at home is now automatically cheating.
I saw Spike's video. Spike's very good at what he does for a living. I will buy that it's unfair.
Buy.
Buy or fair, you agree with me. Spike intended to be unfair.
Buy.
Yeah. Spike's amazing. I like Spike. Spike was my boss. Spike's very good at his job. Spike's full of crap. And Spike, that's part of his thing, right? Like he's very good, and this is a compliment, Spike, if not a put-down if you're listening. He's very good at driving attention and riling people. He's good at radio. And he doesn't accuse them. It's actually really funny because I think in a lot of ways, I think he's also... Look, he's doing it in order to just get attention and get clicks and be relevant, and that's his job. I think he's also making fun of the people who react to it. because he's not serious. And so I think he's also looking down at the people who fall for his okie-dokie. He doesn't think the Mets are cheap.
And I will say, though, it is odd. I have no idea what the reason is, but it is odd that they're 20-25 on the road, yet they're 33-14 at home.
Yeah, but he went through all the stats in the year. Come on. It's just whatever it is, it is what it is. It's really funny. He's also trolling his former. He used to run WFAN. Those of you that don't know, Spike was in charge of the New York station. That is the big station in New York City. Most of you don't know that because you don't live in New York City or care. So he's also trolling the place he used to run.
Which is definitely A-plus trolling by him there. I'll give him
How
that.
Pissed off? Are people pissed off there?
Bye.
Yeah.
We even have Yankee fans that are pissed off. Our own Manny Rodriguez was going at him on social media. Manny's a Yankee fan.
I saw that. Did Spike come back at him?
I have not seen a response yet from Spike.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Over
in Milwaukee, Spike. James Mizorowski has continued to dominate, although when facing Shohei Ohtani last night to lead off the game, Shohei got him with a leadoff solo home run. Mizorowski went on to pitch 6 shutout innings after that, striking out 12. Buy or sell that the Brewers, with Mizorowski in their lineup, are a legit contender in the National League.
I'm going to buy. Every year, I feel like the Brewers are underappreciated or undersold. They are. All right, I'm going to give you a take, and you tell me if you think this is real. So we've talked about the fact that obviously small markets don't have the same level of resources, and baseball in the field is really pitted against them. Buy or sell, you agree with me that in terms of culture and overachieving, the Brewers are the new Cardinals or Oakland A's?
Buy.
Dude, they're every year they're in a division with the Cubs, who are the Cubs, but have so much. The Cubs stole their manager, and it didn't matter. And the Cardinals, and it faded a little bit, have always had this incredible culture of baseball greatness that has gone all the way down to rookie ball, right? That's at every level of the Cardinals organization, they've been outstanding. And the Brewers are clearly the best team in the NL Central since the Cubs won the World Series in the last 9 years.
Yeah.
That's 8 years.
The other team I was debating was the Cleveland Guardians, because I feel like they've been in the playoffs a lot recently. Granted, they continue to lose to the Yankees every time they get there, but I feel like that's the AL's version of Milwaukee would be Cleveland. So that's why I was torn on whether to buy or not.
That's a good one. That's true.
In the NHL, the new CBA deal beginning in 2027 includes an 84-game regular season compared to what they've always done, which is 82 games. Buy or sell that you'd like to see the NBA do the same thing?
Why?
I mean, I guess it's more money.
More money? I'm going to sell.
Sell.
First of all, I like continuity in my games just because I like to compare records. Baseball has this oddity that for a long part of its history, there were 154 games, not 162. So if you go back and you compare dudes doing stuff in the sort of supposed golden years of baseball, it's actually fewer games. And the same thing is true. I also just think it's too many games. If baseball was going to go any direction, I actually think they should do fewer games because guys are getting worn out. But you're right. There's so much dinero at stake. They're never going to give games up.
It's just too much. It's too much money. And especially with the NBA, they're already doing this. They're worried about load management. So if you're adding more games, I think that's only going to make it worse.
And they've got the in-season tournament. So for a few teams, there are 84 games. Just for four, but...
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, last one for you. Now, Mr. Ryan Hickey has not worked with you since last Thursday, almost a full week now. Buy or sell, do you think that he misses you?
Oh, man. Yeah, buy. I think he's really struggling.
Buy!
He sent me several text messages yesterday, and I think he was in Nantucket. Bro, enjoy your vacation. Leave me alone. It's gonna be okay. There's a rejoin somewhere about how it's me saying that I'm like a virus. You think you don't like me, you think I'm whatever, I'm annoying, and then you wake up and you can't get enough. It worked in my dating life. If I could just get pretty girls to go out with me, then they would really like me. I don't know why either. No one understands it. I think Ryan Hickey has fallen victim to that. All right, 888-710-4ISN. is the phone number, 888-710-4476. I have not had a chance to do this. Ashley did. I want to talk a little bit more about why LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers are not a perfect match. All right, welcome back into the show. It is Writer Than You here on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you for listening, for hanging out, for chilling with us on the program. Thank you to Ashley Nicole Moss for making time to be on the show. Ash from CBS Sports, she's the best. Thank you to Nico Scarlatos for filling in. NScar10 on social media. Ryan Hickey will be back tomorrow. We're trying to come up with a nickname for him, Nico. When he worked for me for years on the 6 to 10 p.m. show, I called him Trace, like three in Spanish. But then Gelb called him Hot Take Hickey. We've gotten to DJ El Guapo, but he thought El Guapo meant ugly. It means the opposite. So I don't know if that works. Do you have a preference for what he should or could be called? So make another one up.
Amongst the names that you just mentioned, DJ El Guapo is the best one by
far. It's great, right?
I love that. Whenever I see him in the newsroom, I always just happen to call him the Hickster. I don't know why I started doing that, but the Hickster is what I go with.
He's such a nice guy and or passive aggressive that he would never tell you if he didn't like it.
He probably
I wonder if he likes
it.
The Hickster. He might.
Yeah?
I mean, I think it'd go either way. He's a pretty chill guy. You know what you should do is you should just start calling him a different nickname every day and upping the ante until it's obnoxious and then report back. You know? Start with the Hickster and Hick Daddy and Ryan McHickster and then just get to, hey, what's up, fraud? Or something, you know, really... Just, I once, when Tom DeCelestino was the executive producer, I tried to talk him into giving random people, just walking up to random people in the newsroom and giving them hugs for no reason, including Boomer Esiason, but he wouldn't do it.
He is definitely not the type to
He's not
be
a
doing
hugger.
That.
He's not even a hello guy.
I think you get Hickey to do that, though.
If Pretty Daddy had walked up to Boomer Esiason in the newsroom and had just hugged him, would Boomer have physically removed, or do you have just been like, what are you doing, dude?
I don't know Boomer well enough to be able to answer that, but I get the sense that it would not go well.
Just walk over like, hey, man, and just give him a quick hug and then get out. That was when Spike was here. I wanted him to do it to Spike Eskin. I wanted him to do it to David Marinick.
Anyway. I think David would hug him back. He seems
David's such a great guy.
Of course.
Be like, oh, hey, man. Yeah. Yeah, because Dave, yeah. Not that Spike's not, but Spike was even then plotting how the Mets were cheating or something. So, you know, he had his mind on other stuff. I went out with the guys. I went out with Ken Carman and Anthony, a 92.3, our great affiliate in Cleveland, early this morning, early for me. And we were talking some NBA, and they kept asking me, Nico, whether I thought LeBron James and the Cavs should be a fit, whether you can pull that off, whether that would be the right move. And sort of I get the premise of this question. LeBron opted into his deal and then, to my mind, very obnoxiously, had his agent go out and say he's evaluating whether the Lakers are making the right moves. That's sort of like saying I'm evaluating whether Lori's the right person for me 3 minutes after saying I do at the church. Like, you have gotten the order wrong in that, LeBron. But it did open the idea of the window, the possibility certainly out there that maybe LeBron would be open to be traded if the Lakers weren't doing enough, blah, 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 blah. For Cleveland, I think it's one of the few teams where there's a natural reason that you would entertain this, that you would very legitimately think about LeBron James as more than just a theoretical fit. He's obviously from Akron. He obviously played at Cleveland twice. He brought Cleveland its only championship in living memory. That's sort of the connection. The Cavaliers are on the verge of maybe being what the Thunder were last year, that team that makes that leap, that makes that jump, that goes from being a one seed in a conference that doesn't get to the conference finals to maybe NBA champions. We just saw this happen with Oklahoma City. And the idea would be that LeBron would bring some toughness, the guys pointed out. He certainly brings championship experience. He's not going to flinch in the face of those moments. And I normally, on these sort of topics, have a very strong opinion. It's not always the right opinion. I thought Jalen Brunson, as I made fun of myself for with our talk with Ashley Nicole Moss earlier, was going to be a disaster for the Knicks and said he was a D-plus signing. And I get that video 1,000 times a month, and I deserve it. That's fine. I usually have a pretty strong perspective. I don't know on this one. And there's a few factors here. One, just on the LeBron in a vacuum, which is not how that trade now would be, after be a trade would go down. Is he willing to be a secondary guy? Is he willing to play a second fiddle role? And by the way, part of the reason he probably is open to leaving the Lakers is he's second fiddle anyway with Luka Doncic. And I don't know that he loves that. And we have seen different all-time greats have different views on this. Steph Curry, at the height of his powers, by the way, willing to be second fiddle to Kevin Durant when it turns out he is the better player. And he is the better player. He has a championship without Durant. Post-Durant, Durant does not. I don't even think it's a question. But either way, both great players, Steph was willing to say, you win the finals MVPs, you take the accolades, you take the shots, I'll facilitate, I'll run around like I'm running a marathon and create space for you. Tim Duncan was willing to do this, not at the height of his powers, maybe a better comparison to LeBron at the end of his career. Duncan took less money, ceded the team to Tony Parker. Tony Parker was the best player and the most important player on that team for a stretch, and then really ceded the team to a degree to Kawhi Leonard, who at the time was the youngest finals MVP in NBA history. Duncan would play fewer minutes and wouldn't be the focal point, and in the playoffs, and they got an extra title out of this, Tim Duncan was able to get to 30 minutes and muster some energy and some greatness and be really impactful for some of the games that mattered that got them that fifth ring. Kobe Bryant wasn't willing or able to do this. It's okay. It's not a criticism. It was just a different mentality, a different approach, a different obsession. I don't know that LeBron James, I don't know. I'm not even going to guess. I'm not sure which side LeBron would fall on. His rings don't measure championships would certainly tell you that maybe he would be rather be the guy because he doesn't think rings matter. I also think he's full of you-know-what. I don't think he means that at all. I think that's, of all the lies LeBron's told, he's told a lot. I mean, there's a lot of, LeBron's told some crazy stories over the years. I think that is one of the most far-fetched. That is me saying that I once caught a 30-pound bass in the Mississippi River. Don't believe it. It's not true. I think he cares about rings. The other thing is you just, to make the numbers work, the way that the CBA works and the aprons, you'd have to basically trade Darius Garland, Jared Allen, and Max Strus-ish. It's not like what the Knicks can do. The Knicks can one for one it, basically. I'm oversimplifying, but the Knicks can basically trade Cat for LeBron. So that theoretical conversation is you're not losing depth, you're swapping players. I mean, there's a timeline differential and age, all that, but there's not a depth issue. There's not a one for one that the Cavs can do. And so to make the numbers work, you're going to lose a lot of depth. But on the other hand, he's an amazing... I also don't know how he and Donovan Mitchell are going to get along. I'm just not sure how that works. I think my inclination would be no. I think my inclination would be Cleveland needs to let this cook and let this bake a little longer. I think my inclination is they were amazing last year and they just didn't perform in the playoffs and they had some injuries too. But I understand the counter-argument. I do think Cleveland has a 2-year window. They have a 2-year window. Well, Donovan Mitchell is going to be 30-31. Diminutive guards often, not always now, but often start to fall off a cliff at 32. So Donovan Mitchell's got 2 years before that. The East isn't going to be very good, as we've talked about. The Pacers and the Celtics are out of the way. There's this moment. I don't know, Nico, if you were my assistant GM and I was the Cavs GM, if I took over Kobe Altman's job, would you push me to go for LeBron or stand pat?
I mean, obviously it makes them better, but it's just one of those things where, like, from the fan perspective of it, it's like, do we really need these storylines again? Like, he was already there twice. It's almost like LeBron is, like, the father and the Cavs were, like, his child. And it's like, thank you, LeBron, for raising us. You made us what we are today. But now it's time that we go on and live our own lives. Like, we don't need you anymore to take care of us. That's how I'm looking at it.
Grandpa LeBron, enjoy your retirement. We don't need you here.
Right. And it's no hard feelings.
You think they're better? No Jared Allen, no Darius Garland. You think they're better than LeBron? I mean, Mobley obviously can take and does take Jared Allen's spot. It's not like they are missing front court depth. I mean, LeBron does score 25. He's 25, 8, and 7, basically. So he'll fill that, I guess, Garland scoring role. Although I don't want LeBron handling the ball that much because of the wear and tear.
I mean, I learned this year from watching the Knicks just how valuable depth is in the NBA.
It really is.
I never really thought about it until this year, and that would be the only thing that would make me nervous about a trade like this for the Cavs.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought experiment, and whenever I go on local radio, it's really helpful because it gives you some insight into the feelings and the vibes in that city. Right, those guys will always ask, "What's the national perspective on you know Milwaukee or Cleveland or Utah or Oregon, right, or the Ducks or whatever, wherever you're talking to folks." And in the same way, you get a local perspective. And it sounds to me, talking to those guys, people in Cleveland are torn, but those that want LeBron really want him because they feel like they can win a championship if they go get him. I just, the basketball is 50-50, and I do worry about the vibes. LeBron does take the oxygen out of the room sometimes. LeBron can get really down. He's, from a basketball perspective, from a chemistry perspective, I don't necessarily mean as a human being outside of work. I don't know that. He's a moody guy. And so when things go bad, he can kind of bring the vibe down. When things go well, he can bring the vibe up. I don't know. I think it's too risky. I think it's too much to give away. If LeBron had opted out, hadn't opted into his player option and was like, I'll take the mid-level. I want to win championships. I have enough money. I'm a billionaire already. Hell yes, bring in LeBron. Hell to the yes. But for what you have to give away, I think it's probably a no. All right, so this is the end of our time with Nico for now. So Nico, in the last time, the months between you filling in, you started using the train. We got to figure out what's next. Maybe all-night clubs?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do it.
I don't know anything about the New York clubbing scene, though.
Yeah,
so I don't know how that works.
I'm not too familiar with that either.
Can't Sherpa you that the way I did the train. All right, well, great work.
Research.
All right, you get in the research. You'll tell us next time. Great work from Nico. DJ El Guapo is back tomorrow. I am Bill Ryder. Appreciate you as always. See you here tomorrow on Ryder Than You.